Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, stay tuned. We have a great show coming up. But I start this song to let everyone know that you are God's treasure. You mean something. You are valuable. Stay tuned to after the song.
From the day I was born,
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I hope all is blessed. I hope all is well. Listen, man, we appreciate everything. We appreciate everyone who has been coming on the show, who has been participating and having conversations with us. We thank you so much here at Dirty Church Radio. We truly enjoy fellowshipping and talking about different issues and different topics that deal in our society of today. It's such a blessing to just, you know, the different people that call in that we meet throughout the week. We believe that it's been very great just getting to know and understand things that probably we haven't talked about in our churches, but it's a blessing to come on here and to be able to talk about some things and to learn some things, not just about church, but about history, about things that have taken place and existed in our communities. And it's just so, it's been a great thing. It's something been just with our different brothers that's been calling on who have been actually giving us great information, and we appreciate it. Before we go in, I'm going to play this other song right here, and it's called I Bless Your Name, and I hope you all be blessed.
That lives in me.
going on, everyone? This is Minister Jay Miller again, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I know tonight, a lot of people may be at church Bible study or different things like that, but tonight, all week we've been having some good topics, some interesting points of views of different people. And you know, here on Dirty Church Radio, sometimes it gets off the chain, but we expect it when you're dealing with people's beliefs and things that people hold very dear to their hearts, passionate. And sometimes it gets like that. And sometimes it's hard. You have to express yourself the way you express yourself. In Dirty Church Radio, we give you a platform. As long as you keep it in a respectful way without using any vulgar language and all that type of stuff like that. But with that being said, listen, tonight's topic is the church without God. The church without God. Are you a member? And there may be a lot of you out here who may say, the church without God. I can't imagine church without God. But there are a lot of people who would rather have church without God, without a God that people call him a dictator. People call him, you know, controlling. You know, you have a lot of people who believe, you know, whatever they believe or feel, whatever they feel. From my point of view, today, I mean, I was in service, and it was mentioned about how in today's time within church, it's like people are having church without God, a church without experiencing the power or the move of God. It's like his presence is absent, and we fill the void with our own selfishness, with our own personal gains, with our own agendas, with our own wills. So I'm on this show tonight to actually say that I believe the reason why it seems like church is without God is because we've replaced him with ourselves. It's no room for him in our selfish hearts and our wicked hearts and our minds. I believe we leave no room for God. That's why we don't actually see a move of God in church. And some may call on here, or, you know, different ones that come on the show and be like, well, God doesn't exist, or the Christian God doesn't exist, or the God of the Bible doesn't exist. But I believe that God does exist. I believe it wholeheartedly. I believe God lives within me. I believe he is my creator. One thing I do believe, though, as a Christian, I do believe that there are a lot of things that we don't know. I believe there are a lot of, I believe there is so much more that we need to learn. And I do believe that we clutter our minds with so much of just life in general, things that we deal with, things that we connect ourselves to, and things that we give more of our time to. Our lives is fulfilled with those things, where it kind of makes it hard for us to meditate or give that time that we actually need to learn more about the God that we believe in. But I believe one thing here on Dirty Church Radio, whatever your belief is, it's a show that will make you want to stand up for what you believe in and learn more about what you believe in, so you can better voice and give an understanding of why you believe what you believe. As a person that goes to church, I'm living my life now in a sense where it's not like I expect God just to see me when I go to church. I kind of live with a God consciousness that his eyes is in every place, that he sees me wherever I'm at, that regardless if I do something, whatever I do, he can see it. So the best thing for me to do is to be real and not be phony, walk in my own identity, not try to mimic or walk in anyone else's identity, but be true to myself, be true to who I am, and learn more about who I am, not just within myself, but who am I in God? Who am I? Who have I become since I believe? Who have I become since I've accepted God into my life? what has that made me? Am I experiencing the benefits that come with accepting God? Am I seeing God? Am I feeling the presence of God? Is God really working in my life? And it's a lot of times it seems like you go to church, people only really get a sense of God actually in a church building or in a church setting. So that's their time of God. So that's the time that they probably most feel the most holiest or feel the most closest to God when they go to church. But I don't believe it should be that way. I believe that you should have that feeling with you wherever you are, in your homes, especially in your homes. You should begin to, you know, study God's word and stand for what you believe and not be ashamed of what you believe. And I know there are many questions or many people, you know, statements that are made that, well, why believe in a God that you never see? Or the God that you believe in is a God that man wrote about. Like I told a young brother earlier today, I believe that whoever wrote the Bible, I do truly believe that it was inspired by God. And I do believe in the Bible. There is as many bad things that one might try to point out and use. I believe there are so many great principles in the Bible that if you follow them, it will make you a great human being. It will make you a great person. It will bring joy to your life, peace to your life. If you totally trust God and surrender to the will of God, the Creator. To me, when I talk to certain brothers, I feel as though there are a lot of people. I believe that when you don't acknowledge God for who He is, the Creator, my opinion is, this is just my opinion, is that it's kind of disrespectful. It's a disrespectful thing if you don't acknowledge what supplies, you don't acknowledge your power source. You don't admire or respect the thing that created you, you know, the person, the being that created you, that is higher than you. So tonight I want to know, all the ones that may be out there listening, are you a member? What church are you a member of? And I'm not talking about an actual building, but in your church, does God reside? Does God truly live? I'm talking about the God that, God Almighty. You can call him the God of Jacob, Abraham. I'm talking about the God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Does he really reside in your life? Do you truly experience fellowship and communication with that God? The God that created everything, that brought everything into existence. Do you really have a fellowship with that God in your life? Or do you just have a fellowship with man's perception of his idea of God? Or is it the true and living God that you truly fellowship with, whether it be in your church or whether it be in you? Because you are first the church, and you take the church to the building. So my question is, when you go to church or when you, wherever fellowship or whatever place you go to, when you go through there, does God go there with you? Does God live in you? And wherever you go, you take that God there. Or is it a falseness in you where you're lying to yourself, where you really don't have God in you, and you only say you believe because it seems like the best option or the best thing to say, but truly deep in your heart, you really don't believe? We want to hear from you on Dirty Church Radio. Are you having church without God? And what are the consequences of having church without God? There are some people that feel as though that this whole world would be better without the religion of God or God concept, period, they feel as though it will be better. What do you feel? Call in right now, 773-897-6319. 773-897-6319. I believe it's a great topic to talk about, and I believe there are a lot of you out here who can give some great insight on this show. Church without God, are you a member? We want to talk about here on Dirty Church Radio. It was a blog. They did a survey. I think this survey was done like in 2009. But it says the recently released American Religious Identification Survey found that 15% of Americans have no religious affiliation, and another 5% did not know their religious identity. Can non-religious people be drawn into a religious-like congregations for the sake of the community? It says probably not, at least not in real numbers. But the humanist chaplain at Harvard is giving it a shot. It says the monthly schedule is church-like, with its parenting classes, guest speakers, and small group meetings to hash out shared beliefs. But God isn't part of this Cambridge congregation. It says the humanist chaplain at Harvard University is building a God-free model of community that he hopes helps humanists increase in numbers and influence. He sees potential in research showing that there are more people with no religion in the latest American Religious Identification Survey released this month. 15% of respondents said they had no religion compared to 8.2%. It says they also believe that the group includes large numbers of people who are humanists but have never identified themselves that way and can be reached. And then it says, at the same time, there is a broader acceptance of those with no faith, as indicated by President Barack Obama's mention of non-believers. In his inaugural address, it says definition of this humanist vary. Generally, humanists reject belief in the supernatural and are guided by reason, experience, and compassion for others. Defines the philosophy as a commitment to living ethical, personal, fulfilling lives while serving the greater good. Dealing with this, there are a lot of people in our world today that really they really don't even focus on religion at all, or really have no beliefs. They really just look at life. Let me just live my life the best way I can. You know, love my family, go to work, you know, supply the necessary needs for my family and myself, and you know, have fun with friends, just live, and do the best that I can, but actually with no concept or thought of God or giving God any recognition or that they don't even feel a need to. So really, a lot of them say they're good without God. They're good without God. They like it when it's just them, where they don't have to submit to the will of some greater being, but actually just live a happy life and make sure they try to fulfill it for the greater good of others. And then it also says something here. It says Epstein wants to plant local humanist centers and nationwide that perform many of the community building functions of a church only in service of the humanist creed. He will promote his idea as he tours the country to promote his book, Good Without God, which is scheduled to be published by HarperCollins later this year. It says Epstein will receive assistance and funding from groups such as the American Humanist Association and the Secular Student Alliance. which have chapters they hope to strengthen and multiply. It says there are so many millions of people out there with basically that basically share their views, that we got room for everybody. What we are doing here has to grow even the more. So it's a lot of movements going on in this world today without the concept of God, or feeling though that life is better without any religion or without any recognition of God. So if there are any of you out there on this topic right now, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. What do you feel like this world would be like without the thought of God, period? And do you feel like you would be better off without an idea or a perception of God? Personally, me as the host of this show, I believe we need God more than ever. And I believe that God is the way. I believe we really don't even have true identities without God, because I believe he is our direction. I believe he is the one who he created us. So he knows our design. He knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. But we have to accept the fact and trust him that he does know what's best for us, that he knows what's better for us than we know that's better for us. And but there are a lot of people who look at the Bible and look at God as a very deceiving book. To believe in God is just something that keeps you in bondage from accepting who you really are, what you really can be. And a lot of people believe that religion and God is in the way of their lives. So a lot of people completely walk away from the concept of God. You have people that have been raised in church or raised with a belief of God, and throughout time, them studying, finding out different materials from other men that study and different views and points, and some people just choose to walk away from God because the whole religion and the whole God concept seems like a big old headache. Some people have walked away from God because they don't want to believe in hell. Hell is too much for them to actually think about, and why. And people say, why would a God create such a bad place for his creation to go if he's the one who created them? The creation didn't ask to be created. He created the creation. So why do they have to suffer for being created? There are people who, you know, feel that way. So they completely walk away from God, which once they truly may have loved God and believed God and different things. Some people have lost loved ones, lost children, mother and father, family members, and just the thought of that person dying, they felt as though that why couldn't God keep them alive? And they prayed. And they prayed and cried and prayed, Lord, please heal them. Lord, please change this situation. Like, I need my mother. I need my children. God, please don't let them die. And then they wind up dying. And with that person that they love dying, their faith died right with them. So now they walk away and they turn their back on the God that they once loved, because they feel like he doesn't love them no more because he didn't answer their prayer. And if he loved them, why would he want them to go through the pain that they endured? Why should they have to suffer the heartache and the pain of things? If you love me, why would you do that to someone you love? And there are people who feel that way. There are some of you right now that may be out there on the air and maybe listening, and you've been struggling with that thought for years. Maybe you lost someone in the 70s or in the 60s or the 50s or 40s or just yesterday or last week, last year, and you don't understand why God allowed it to happen. So because he allowed it to happen, you completely feel as though he turned his back on you and your request. So now you turn your back on him and refuse to serve him or refuse to acknowledge him. And I believe there's a lot of people that have that feeling in their heart right now. But me, as the host of this show, I believe that God still loves you. And his love is the greatest love ever. And I believe his love goes so deep that it just can't even be explained or given its full definition, even in this earth realm. I believe that there's a feeling of love that we have yet even experienced. We may be married to individuals, and we may love our children, but I still don't believe that even us as human beings have tapped into the depths of love in its fullest. And I believe that God is one who knows what that is, because he is that. I believe God is love. And if God allows something to happen, it all happens for a reason. And I know it's hard. It's easier said to say that way. It seems like that may be a cop-out answer. But I believe some things won't be answered right away. But I do believe in time that as time goes on, more and more things will unfold to our understanding. But I do believe that we can't allow the tragedies and different things that we experience in life to keep us or detour us from the perception that there is a God. I mean, I know we can't touch him with our hands. I know we can't feel him, or I can't pull him out my closet and be like, hey, here, go look at God to prove. But God, a lot of times it's unexplainable. You can just feel him. You just know that it's something greater than you. And it's almost like your spirit or your heart feels it way beyond being able to explain it. And it creates a great hope within inside of you. It's a great hope of something to look forward to. And I believe that even in our society today, there's a lot of wickedness going on. There are a lot of bad things going on. And I believe also there's a lot of people who have grown up or growing up in this world without the idea of what love is, or ever even being able to feel true love. And I do believe God is something that does supply that love. And I believe that the way we live our lives, and even me as a minister, I believe the way I live my life, not being perfect, we all have flaws, but I believe that our lives should become bridges, connect people to God, to help people cross over the doubts, to help people cross over the questions, to help people step over the stumbling blocks that may be keeping them from getting to where God is. So even to all the apostles that may be out there right now, and pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers, if you're hearing me right now, even if you're listening right now, call into the show, 773-897-6319, and become a bridge. Become a bridge on Dirty Church Radio to help someone get to a place to even begin to think of the idea that there is a God. Nothing happens overnight, but there are a lot of people, you know, it's through how they've grown up or what they've experienced that a lot of times it's hard for them to even imagine that there is a God, because what they've experienced and what they've been through in life, it seems like it's nothing here that loves them, because everything has just been going completely wrong in their lives. You know what I'm saying? And they don't have no love. at all. And maybe love has came in their presence, but they've been bitter so long they can't even tell the difference because they don't trust no one. So even when love comes, it looks like it's deceiving. Call into the show tonight. And I really make this call out here to all the different preachers, even if you're my friend on Facebook, regardless how great your name is or how less your name might be amongst people, because our names are all great amongst God because we're all God's children. But whoever you are, whatever your walk, we just want you to just come on this radio show and help give some insight of God and what this world would be like without no God. What is this world like right now with a God, but it seems like he's not here? It seems like where is God? Is it the ones who believe in God, is it their fault because they're not truly, you know, tapping into who they are and standing up and representing God that they say they believe in the right way? So whoever you are out there, listen, call into the show. And if you are a bridge to God, become that bridge. Help someone not become a Christian or not become any religious thing, but help someone become a bridge, even if it's just to the idea of the possibility of God. And that's what Dirty Church Radio is all about, is not to tear anything or anyone down, but me as the minister and the host of the show, everyone knows what I stand for. I believe in God. I stand for God. But I do understand that everyone does not take that stand. But I will not allow, just because other ones don't take that stand, to make me not take the stand. But my whole thing is like this. I believe that whatever we do, whatever choices we make, whatever we represent, we should represent peace, love, strength, unity, family, that whole concept right there. And I believe if we in this world, if we focus even on family even more with our children, our wives, your husbands, whatever, if we get family together, if we take each family at a time and we become the best family that we can possibly be, I believe that the world will become greater. And I believe it starts home by home. And I believe that's where it starts at. It starts home. And not just raising them in a religion, but raising them to make the right choices, to make the right decisions, to cause no pain or destructive behavior to your fellow man. I believe that's the beginning of it all. And I believe if we do that, that will get the ball rolling. To a more peaceful world, to better unity in our world. And I believe that is something that is truly needed in this time. The strengthening of the family, I believe that is important, because I believe a lot of things that have happened in this life and that's happening now is tearing families apart. It's destroying families. And when you destroy the family, you destroy the world. And I truly believe that. So what's going on, DA?
How's it going? How's everything?
Good. Good, man. Good, man. Good. Good. What's up with you?
You know me. Same old. Loving life and everything in it. Everything that you said, I am I'm totally for it. You know what I'm saying? Dealing with the family and basically the pursuit of happiness and limiting, you know, as much, or using damage control as much as possible without hurting someone else, without stepping on someone's neck to achieve, you know, your goals. I mean, I'm all for that. Do you necessarily need a God to do so? I don't necessarily think so or believe so, but if God is the source for you to be that person, I say, God up and continue to God up. And however much, you know, God can fulfill that type of mentality in your life and the people around you, I say, you know, continue to do it. But if you are a type of person that believes in some type of divine power that doesn't necessarily believe in that and believes in tearing down or destroying people or killing or you know, using their divine power, you know what I'm saying, to basically tear down or govern in a very dictative way, then I think that kind of defeats the purpose of, you know, the whole intent of love and trying to build up. So I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. On that concept.
Well, I got you. I got you, DA. I hear you too, though. I hear you. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, I hear you. You know what I mean? You throwing jabs and uppercuts, you know what I mean?
I had to because before I was talking, you was doing the same thing. So, you know, one jab deserves another.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, you know, I just want to let you know I acknowledge the jab and the uppercut. It's all right. Yeah, I take the punches, you know, and you know, keep moving. But I'm swinging too, though. I gotta go down
okay.
with the swing, man. You know
so
what I mean?
what's the concept of the show again?
Well, tonight, man, we're talking about the church without God.
Okay.
Are you a member? And I was just even reading a survey with a humanist group up at Harvard University.
Mm-hmm.
And how they are creating congregations. They're trying to establish congregations without religion.
Okay.
Coming together, you know. You know how, you know, they just want to live their lives. You know what I'm saying? For the better of mankind, not to hurt
mm-hmm.
anyone. You know what I'm saying? And just live, but without God, without the whole religion, without God. And a dude named Greg Epstein has a book, was promoting a book. And the name of the book is called Good Without God.
Okay.
And I was just talking on the show that, you know, there are many people, a lot of people who, you know, actually feel that they're good without God. And
mm-hmm.
there are people who feel like they're not good without God, that God is the goodness of their lives. And without God, they kind of see it hard to see good.
Mm-hmm.
And you got those who... with God, it brings a lot of pain and destructive behavior from their take on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about, too, that there are a lot of people who at one time, you know, were in God, you know what I'm saying, and actually, you know, believed. And there are some people who may have lost loved ones, mother, father, children, or whatever, and they prayed to the God that they believed, that they confessed in. And they prayed wholeheartedly, and they really asked God, you know what I mean, to, you know, come and change the situation, And when they did that, the individual still died. So those people, their mindset changed to, well, how could the God that's supposed to love me allow me to feel this pain of what I'm feeling? When I asked him, I didn't want to feel this, and I wanted him to change the situation. Why, if he loved me, why would he want me to feel this heartache that I'm feeling?
Mm-hmm.
So since he wants me to feel this, I'm not going to serve him no more. I'm going to walk. Matter of fact, I'll take the whole idea of his existence out of play. and I'll live my life without him, because it seems with him it's more pain. When I accept him, it's more trial and tribulation with him than without him.
Yeah. The thing I would have to say about that is, this is just my opinion. There's no actual study that I know of. I haven't even done any studying pertaining to it, but this is just my take on it. I think people who actually leave a particular belief because of hurt and pain, I believe eventually they actually go back to that belief, because hurt and pain doesn't last for a very long time. And if we consider, 10 years,
it all depends on, though, how long. If there are people who have held very long grudges, though, there are people who, even when they may come back and go, but their heart and stuff is not in it the way it was. So
yeah,
those
are
people that may be in a setting that have become bitter.
I don't necessarily think that people actually, like I said, 10, 20 years in a lifespan where most people usually live to be around 70 or 80 years old, that's not necessarily a long time. But again, like I said, that's just my guess. I'm just guessing. I'm not totally sure about that. But when someone leaves somebody for the reason of being upset at them or angry at them, like I said, anger and upsetness usually doesn't last forever. And if it doesn't last forever, a lot of people can get over that, whether or not they get back to the place they used to be. But a belief still somewhere is there. It may be covered from the hurt and the pain, but I believe that the belief is still there, because they're actually, it's more of a blame game. And how in the world can you blame something on somebody that you don't necessarily believe exists?
But the fact is, though, that these people may have truly believed, and it's that because they didn't get what they requested, and they really wanted that, and they felt as though that their service in that belief for that time, they were worthy of that thing being granted unto them. And when it's not granted, they completely withdraw. Like, there are stories like that, man.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that
there are.
Yeah, I'm not saying
people,
that there is.
You know, it's people who, even not only that, things like that happened, and the pain is so much, and now they go out here and they get hooked on drugs. And, like, now the rest of their lives is like a roller coaster or a free fall, a falling with no end.
Yeah, but again, like I said, it's only because they are taking their anger out on something or someone that they are angry at. I can't be angry at nothing. So they are angry at somebody or something.
But that's what we're saying, though.
Yeah, I know. So that was my whole point, basically saying that I think people who actually no longer accept belief anymore out of anger, I think they come back because the whole idea to be angry is to be angry at somebody or something. And if that something or somebody is no longer there, how in the world can you be – how can you still hold this anger? I mean, that's the – and like I said, it's not factual. It's just my opinion.
What I'm saying – The anger can. What I'm saying is, the anger, it starts with the anger. Then it starts with the anger of, like out of mind, out of sight. You are no longer real to me now, since you could not show yourself real to me when I needed you. Mm. Now you are no longer real to me. So from that sense,
yeah. Well,
if you are
then,
real, I don't want nothing to do with you. Like,
okay, well,
that
then that's actually a different story. Then those are people who just reject it because of anger.
The stories, that may be one person's story, but the story, what I'm talking about is where it starts from, what started the separation, what started the walk away, the turn around from what you was connected to now you severed the relationship, or you severed the, even the idea that there ever was really a relationship, or however you view it. But
well, see, my mom always said, she used to always tell me, she says, if you stay mad at a girlfriend or you stay mad at a boyfriend, that lets the girlfriend or boyfriend know that you still care about them. Because the minute you stop being upset at that person, that lets you know that you're over it. And so in the sense of you still being upset at something or somebody leads me to believe that you still believe that, that somebody or something still exists, because you cannot be upset at something that does not exist. But my thing is, I think I hear what you're saying. Maybe the anger actually jump-started their unbelief. But and if that's the case, then it comes to the point where, okay, now I start doing some history. Now, like, my anger drove me to actually do some work behind it and really find out about it.
Yeah,
if
that's
the case, then yeah, then I can understand it.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying they start somewhere.
But they're no longer upset, though. They're no longer angry anymore. Like, the anger is gone. Like, now they just don't believe.
The anger may have gone. Just like, you know, it was, you may have been in relationships before, and you was angry, you know what I mean? And now you broke up out of that relationship. But now that you're out of it, you're no longer angry, but you're no longer connected to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that person may still exist. That's just from the human part of it. But now we're talking about, you know, from God. But right now, you know, we got our apostle on the line and we got our brother Cephano on the line.
Okay. Okay.
What's going on, brothers?
What's happening? What's happening, D.A.? What's up, Jermaine? Hey, Pastor Lewis, what's going on, man?
What's up, Brother Shanafa, M.S.J., and A.A.?
Yeah. If you answer your phone, you'd be off the chain. But that's a whole nother show.
Hey, hold up. You said, Lou, what did you say? You said AA?
Yeah, he's no longer DA. He's AA.
What does that mean? For?
That stands for Aaron's Advocate.
Who's Advocate?
Yeah, Aaron's advocate.
Oh, yeah, take that devil off of him, man. He ain't no devil. He ain't advocating for that creature.
He ain't advocating for no devil.
Yeah, there you go.
That's Aaron.
We're all in love with that, brother. Yeah.
Well, no, it's more so of the term that I kind of took, not necessarily that I'm advocating for Satan, that I don't necessarily believe exists. But no,
right.
I don't necessarily, you know, it's just
right.
It's just more
I
of the term
you.
Of it. You know what I mean? So, but, yeah. All right, Mr. Apostle L. Young, I'm coming for your throat tonight. So come with what you got.
Hey,
oh,
Brother Jermaine.
Yeah.
What's going on, Seth? I got a beef with you tonight, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
My beef is, I talked to you today.
Yeah, you talked to me today. Uh-huh.
And you said, and here you go, the show going to be about this, and it's going to air at 9. So I'm sitting on the phone talking, just so happened to pull it up, and it said on the air. I said, okay, so he just like, they probably talking about me. Look, I said he probably talking about me for the first hour. He ain't want me to hear about it. So.
No, you know what? The topic changed up, man. It changed up because it was some people, when we do the gambling versus investing topic, it's some other people that I want on the show, and they weren't able
right.
to come on the show tonight. And my bad,
okay.
I didn't get back and call you back or hit you up.
Yeah, because
I
was looking at 9 o'clock.
And I had told him that I had changed it, but I forgot to call you back to let you know that it was changed.
Yeah,
because
to be honest, I didn't know either.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
He
was talking about both of us, dear.
Me and Jay actually did have a discussion earlier. Me and Jay had a discussion earlier, and you know, the conversation got kind of heated, and then I heard a dial tone. So I kind of thought that he wasn't, you know, he wasn't showing me love tonight.
You know what that was? I ain't gonna make no peas, but that was wifey on the other line.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was like,
who hung up on me before? Wifey wasn't on the other line, so don't feel bad, bro. I done got hung up on legitly.
who hung up on you, Stephanie?
Look, Apostle did.
Well, Apostle hanging up.
Back at, man, Apostle, do the wrong thing.
I can't believe he's doing this to me, man.
All right, no, you know I'm just playing. You know I'm just playing. He hung up on me because I kept asking him to play on this track.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
All right, so I have a question. I have a question for Mr. Sinefer, and I have a question for Apostle Young. Do you believe that people can be good without God?
Yes.
Apostle?
Yeah, that's yes.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not.
Okay. Oh, I thought.
Yeah, it's plenty of people that have good morals. They live clean lives. They do everything right, and don't even acknowledge a perception of a God conscience.
So, can there be a church without a God that actually is productive and actually doing things that's helping the community and call itself a church?
Well, first of all, mm-hmm. You can't say it's a church if God don't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
So now, if you want to say it's an organization that goes around promoting good, doing good deeds, then you call it an organization.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to be labeled a church, it has to have some kind of God attribute. First of all, for it to be even considered a church.
Okay.
Now it's funny we brought this up because, believe it or not, I think that's one of the problems with church today. The church is becoming more of an organization mechanism instead of a mechanism that promotes the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's why it's easy for somebody to say. Or make the statement like DA just said, because church has become more of an organization or an organism versus what the sole purpose of the church was intended to be in the first place.
Okay.
So, but that's a whole other topic.
Okay.
Oh,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
To answer your question, I think an organization could do what you're suggesting and not have, per se, a God dialect or a God symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a church, God has to be the center point of the church for it to be a church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. How about you, Sinefer?
Do I think that, of course, I think that a person can be good without a God conscience. No, let me rephrase that. Yeah, I think that a person can be good without having a traditional God conscience. And I say that to say that everything created has a consciousness of a higher awareness or a higher mm-hmm. thought process. I think the terminology God and how people use it or how it's understood becomes the blur for most people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that church in itself is like Apostle Young said, it was based off of a particular God conscience. You know, every culture of people that have ever been on this planet, even way long, millions of years before, thousands of years before the church ever existed, as we know it today, had a God consciousness. So I think that internally we're born with a mechanism of love and a mechanism of peace and all those things. The bad parts of life we learn. We're not born we're not born terrible, evil, nasty people. That's not how we were created. We learn behavior.
I would have to stop you there. Just you can finish, but there are certain type of religious beliefs or doctrines that actually believe that to be true, that we are born evil. But go ahead, finish
right.
saying what you're saying.
Right. You know, born into sin and been, you know. But I, as a matter of fact, I have a a chapter in my book
born
that talks about.
Born into sin, shaped into iniquity.
Right. Which is the shape. They're saying we're born into a sinful world, but we're shaped. Shaped into iniquity means that those are learned behaviors.
Yeah.
We're born into an environment of that's messed up, but we're shaped. The kids learn that behavior. We're not born evil, nasty creatures, man.
Well,
you know,
just to ask you a question based on that, because again, I've heard actual people and preachers say this. I'm not saying it's necessarily actually true or not, and they are not the forefront of the gospel, but I'm just saying that I've heard people say this, where they say, do you wonder why you would have to tell a kid not to touch the stove? You didn't necessarily teach a kid not to touch the stove, but the kid actually touched the stove, and that's why, because we are born with a sinful nature, it's our instinct to do bad things first before doing good. That's why parents have to teach kids and show kids not to be bad first.
Touching a stove wouldn't be like if you just a kid is a person that's learning, so they're exploring, so they won't know something is hot unless they touch it, and it's hot. We try to avoid them from touching it, but it's not like in their mind they're like, I'm doing a bad thing. I'm seeing something that I've never seen before. I'm touching. I'm exploring.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I'm just telling you what sometimes I hear, like the things that I hear to justify the reason why we are born bad. So I'm not disagreeing with you.
Let's look at it, and here's when I hear that often, too, DA, and what I've learned to say to that is that our current atmosphere to live in is a little bit different than the one we was created in, right? Or that the one they adopted as creation. Because right now we're the only species on the planet that pays to live on the planet. Every other species, every other creation on this planet has abundance to whatever they want. They can eat. The ants have a plentiful. The birds. Everything eats, but we pay rent, we pay this, we pay that, and because of that, it creates an environment to where bad things happen. You understand? Does that make sense to you? Like when we were living,
survival of the fittest.
Right. When we were living off the land, and the land was plentiful, everybody had, and you didn't have to steal food because it was plentiful. You didn't have to. You didn't have a need for money, so you didn't have to rob anybody of their money. Because money had no value. And so even in our system today, the money that we use is fake. It doesn't exist. They put a value on everything. And so when the greedy have more than the needy, then it creates an environment where people do bad things. But kids are innocent. Kids are innocent. And so are most adults innocent. Most of the adults that are poor are innocently poor. They did nothing to be poor. They're poor because of the circumstances and the situation of how things were set up. But then that's a whole nother.
Yeah, but I totally would agree. Me personally, I would agree with everything that you said. It makes sense, and you actually can justify it and make substantial argument for it. So Jay, I have a question for you. Do you think that people who don't necessarily have a God conscience, do you think that these people can actually acquire like long term productive living? Like for instance, let's say that I don't necessarily believe in God. I don't necessarily believe in any type of higher power. And I love my wife, or I want to love my wife. And I know a lot of people say, especially Christians, say that you can't truly love your wife unless you have the love of God. Like, you can love her, but you won't truly love her. So, what would you have to share about, like, that type of situation?
So, I mean, you're asking me the question of, can a person live a productive life in the earth realm without God?
Can a person live a productive life through love without God?
I mean, through their concept of love, like whatever it is. I mean, listen, you got dudes that say, I love my wife, and they beat their wife half to death. You know what I mean? But are good providers, got a house, you know what I mean, got money in the bank, go on vacations and everything. But he's an abuser, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you say, is that love? Does one act wrong make it not love?
Would people on a general basis say that love ultimately doesn't necessarily try to put people in harm's danger or in harm's way? Or is that only like a one side argument and everybody doesn't necessarily think that? Like, generally.
I think that the thing that separates, there is no, the only thing that, let me put it real simple, because the only difference in the life of a believer and the life of a person who lives a good life that does not believe is what happens after they die.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If a person adopts the theory that there is eternal life in heaven, the streets of gold and all of that, and he goes with that and he says, I'm going to sit with God and I'm going to do, and you know, which is, if somebody adopts that, then that's the only difference, because the works on the planet still calls for righteousness. It still calls for them to live a certain way, to be considered a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me a question. Lou, where they going to walk around heaven all day? Who think that's what they going to be up there doing if they believe that? I couldn't have fun that. If I was God, I'd put them right out. I'd put, get them. That's a crackhead. That's what crackheads do on Earth. Crackheads don't do nothing but walk around Earth all day. What makes you think they're going to be able to go up there and do it? But then, I'm sorry. My bad. Where'd they get that from, Lou?
Oh, that's a song. That was, yes. They got that from Consider George, dog. A lot of times, man, we embrace stuff that sound good, like that.
Yeah.
That statement, it make people like get excited. Like, you know what I'm saying? They'll say like,
yeah,
we gonna walk around heaven. Like, it ain't really nothing to do. You can just do what you want. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, so
it's no more duties of anything. No more obligations of anything. You're just a free spirit in heaven.
Well, that actually brings up a good question to Apostle Lou and Jay, Minister Jay. What is the difference between someone who is saved or a believer from someone who isn't saved or isn't a believer? What's the difference?
The fact that they believe.
So that's the only difference?
And their lifestyle. You see the fruit. You see the fruit of what they believe.
Okay, so what if we're talking about the person like we were mentioning, somebody who lives a good life, a good productive life, doesn't hurt anybody, pays their taxes, does everything they need to do, you know, help out people in need, do all these good things. What then is the difference?
It's still the same thing. It's still the result of the it's still the fruit of what they believe. Now the difference is the non-believer believes in the fact that if he can live a clean life without necessarily admitting or acknowledging the presence of a true and living God.
Mm-hmm.
Now the believer is saying that I know I couldn't live this way without the assistance of the true and living God.
And they believe
that they would not be able to make the declaration that they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't womanize, they don't commit adultery, they don't fornicate, they don't lie, they don't cheat on their taxes. They're admitting that they cannot do this in their own strength.
Well, I have a question based on that. Now, those people that are admitting that they can't do it without their own strength, is their motivation either the wanting of going to heaven or the reward of going to heaven or the fear of going to hell? Is that their motivation?
Hey, you need to get out of my head, D.A. Get out of my head, man.
Well,
you know,
you
here with me?
That was the topic.
Listen, man. Let me tell you something. I was just sitting here thinking while y'all was talking, I was quiet. I was saying, so we need to ask the question, all right, what is your real purpose of you being saved? Is it because you love God, you want to serve God because you love him, or is it because you're afraid to go to hell? And if that's the case, which one is more important?
Because I heard people say, I used to hear people say all the time, I would rather have God and don't need him than to not have God and need him for the purpose of saying that when that time or if that time comes, if there is a hell, thank God I had Jesus.
Well, yeah, I said that my own self.
Let's even go one deeper than that. Let's look at, because here's the answer to your question, Luke, because the Bible says that you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears.
There you
right?
go.
And so if the tree is bearing no fruit, what did Jesus say? He said,
cut it down.
Right. So here's where the church makes its biggest mistake. It won't cut them dead trees down. It's got a whole lot of dead trees in the congregation. And when you don't cut dead trees down, the roots of it suck all the nutrients out of everything else around it, and nothing grows. Look at a yard, for example, with a huge tree in it that's dead, but the roots of it is still alive. No grass will grow. Nothing will grow. And so when you look at the churches in the I'm preaching now. But if you look at the churches,
they ain't preaching. Uh-oh, let me find out stuff in the preaching on Dirty Church.
Oh, boy, you just don't know. But if you look at around your community and look at the churches, ain't nothing growing. It's because it's some roots planted in them churches.
The whole church need to be dug up.
Right, but listen, the church roots, the church itself
so
are the roots of
our traditions and customs of men.
But check me now. The church is the roots of the community. And all it's doing is sucking the resources out of the community, and it's not growing.
Wow.
And so until the church, until somebody cuts those dead trees down and pull those nasty, dirty, stinking hearts.
I see where you're going at. You're going really back really to last night.
Oh, well, I'm sorry then.
I'm saying you're going, yeah, I see, like, you creeping your way into it. I see you, man.
Okay. Well, he's saying what he said. I understand.
He's creeping his way back into, like, the tithing, like, back into that whole.
No. I'm not. I'm talking
Isn't that the resources that you're saying that the church is taking away from the community?
Come on, man. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Listen.
I'm just making sure, man, because I seem like I heard you.
No, stay with me. I ain't going to stay there. We dealt with that. But listen, I'm talking about all the men in the community, because the boys is out there carrying guns. They don't know how to live like men. All the men running the church and hide. Why? Because they scared of going to hell. And Pastor said, you need to stay in here with me until I release you to go out and do anything. Right? So the young men don't see them. You got the women out there acting crazy. So the resources of the community is just not financial. The resources of the community are warm bodies, too. So there's a lot of things.
Able bodies.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of things that the community. You don't need to know the Book of Revelations to go out there and tell a young man, look, man, pull your pants up, bro. You ain't got to be. Don't do that. You see the old lady. Help the lady cross the street. You don't need to go to a theological seminary to be useful in your community. And so, but when the church, and I'm not speaking bad against the church, because not all of them have this problem, but Lou was saying, are people saved because they're afraid to go to hell, or are they saved because they want to do the work of God? Now, according to the Bible, there are some things that people have to do that Jesus rejected them for, right? He said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me. When I was in prison, you didn't do. So there are some natural things that one has to do. But, you know, that's just me. Hey, D.A., can you pass a plate around? Let them know what the credit card number thing is so they can take up an offering for a brother.
I was going with you, man. I was there. I was definitely there. So now my question is, now that we have found out for some people, for some believers, their motivation is the fear of hell, or their motivation is the reward of heaven, and they're not necessarily doing it because they truly choose to do it. They're doing it based on their options, whereas someone who doesn't believe does it because they choose to do it. That's their motivation. So my question would be, depending on that type of motivation, is that actually right intent to do something based on the fear or the reward of it?
No, I feel personally,
y'all don't remember the show that we did on this topic, do y'all?
It's just like marriage. It's just like marriage. You don't marry somebody out of fear of something. You marry them because you want to marry. You love them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, me personally, I feel like your relationship with God should be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not serving God so I can make it to heaven. I'm serving God because I love God. And because I love God, I want to spread this love that I have.
Okay.
And let's get this right now. I don't have to wait to go to heaven to get some of the attributes that's in heaven. Now, if heaven, like they said, got streets of gold, why I got to wait to get to heaven to experience having some gold? God should be able to give me some gold right here on earth.
I never understood. Well, if people took that literally, if people took that the heaven has streets of gold literally, then I definitely can't understand. I'm talking about people who actually say it like that.
I believe it's taken to the point where when you're writing, they're giving you an illustration of the best concept that they can describe it to you. It might not be gold, but you
it can be gold.
On the earth realm, that's far as your mind can possibly probably go.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's something else that exists up there that's not gold, if they gave you that name, you wouldn't know what that was.
Well,
First of all, you only describe things that you know.
According to the scriptures, the Bible says that the righteous is scarcely gonna make it in.
They just getting in by the skin of their teeth.
God bless America.
If there was a man of righteousness.
What'd you say, D.A.?
I said, God bless America. That's not a good situation to be in.
Well, that's what the Bible says.
What
it's saying is, no man can work their way into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You go to heaven because you got an established relationship with God. It ain't about your works that any man should boast. So, I mean, if it was about what you do to get into heaven, how many people will make it? Could you really do enough
to earn your way to heaven? I think it's an echo.
Lou, you got to turn your volume down.
Your voice is like repeating everything you said.
Yeah. Just charging for it. That's all.
You know, the crazy thing about it is we always talk about that, you know, it's not the works. But if you actually read the Bible in its entirety and you start to study it from a lot of people's perspective, and I'm talking about people within the Bible, Jesus does say it is about works. Paul is the one who says it's not about works.
Okay, give us an example where Jesus said it was about works.
Well, Sennacherib just actually said one. He said a couple of them. If you feed me but don't feed your neighbor, Hold on. I'm not finished. Before you jump off on a limb, listen. Another thing Jesus actually said is when he was talking to the young guy and the guy asked some questions. Well, Jesus, how can I be saved? What does Jesus tell him to do? Jesus said, well, these are the things you have to do to be saved, which is you can't commit adultery, you can't lie, you can't steal, you can't do all these things. Jesus was saying these things that you have to do to be saved, because Jesus was a Jew who believed in the law, and at the time, the law was the way to obtain salvation. On the other hand, Paul was actually speaking to the Gentiles, and he was saying that you don't have to necessarily basically follow the Jewish laws to actually acquire salvation. So in that respect, they were preaching different messages. Paul was preaching about the risen Jesus.
Because your statement was about getting into heaven. Now you're talking about salvation.
Wait. That's what salvation is.
You're talking out of context.
Can I? Because
that's what salvation is.
Well,
salvation is heaven.
Well, in Matthew 21:46,
he was a phone because your voice is like real little right now.
Yeah.
Your voice.
You know
all
how
right, go ahead. Like real little.
All right,
now,
go ahead.
You know.
Oh yeah,
where
you sound
was,
better now. You sound like you're in 3D.
Where he was at the first time, Lou. Was exactly that scripture was about heaven, actually.
Okay.
When,
what scripture are you talking about? I didn't hear you.
That he when he's it was Matt where I was Matthew I think it's the 25th chapter, because I know that the 25th chapter, 25 and 46 is the verse that I've always talked to people about, and that was after he said, well, you didn't feed me, you didn't do this, and he said, when you saw, and they said, well, Master, when did we ever see you do that? He said, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Then he said, then go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So it was about heaven. That whole scripture, that whole passage, I think it's like somewhere like.
Okay. All right. Well, that's one.
You follow what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. But what he's talking about, as far as I'm concerned, that's not as far as I'm concerned what I thought he was talking about.
You're talking about the 25th chapter, the 43rd verse, which says, I was a stranger, and ye took me not in the naked, and ye clothed me not, sick in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Now, after that, John was put in prison. I guess it's, yeah, that's the scripture that he was talking about.
Not only that, Sword brought up a scripture the other day because I had to go back and look at it. And it was Matthew 23:23, and it was, again, Jesus was talking to them about works. He said you were careful to tithe a tenth of everything you had, but this thing and that thing. He said, but you didn't do the other things.
And so there is
a lot about works. But now here's the kicker to it. Now, I'm defending the gospel. The only reason, because I'm defending what the book said. Now, do I buy it? It's another story. The whole thing is this, is that he says, well, you got to do these things. Now, a good person can do those things too. That's why I said the only difference is when you die.
I'm sorry, Senefa, but just to add on to what you said, I didn't see it. Just to add on to what you said, I know Apostle one time gave an awesome scripture. He said he was referring to, I don't know who actually said it, but you said that that Jesus, basically what's going to happen is these people are going to say, Jesus, we did everything that you said what we were supposed to do. We followed the law. We did all these things. And then Jesus is still going to turn them away. They still were doing good things, but Jesus turned them away because of what?
They didn't believe.
Yeah, in other words, they was doing the deeds, but they wasn't believing what they was preaching.
Faith without works is dead.
Is dead.
Bottom line. That's where, and now when it comes down to, now here's where I stand. I stand in this position right here, man, that it's the, I had a conversation with, you know that post you reposted, Brother Jermaine? Today a pastor came on, and we went back and forth. There's over 100 and something comments on there, right? And the point of it was I kept telling them on my page. I posted something, and then Jeremy, and the question was, you know, I don't want to get in that. But anyway, the bottom line was I kept saying, bro, I don't have a problem with what you believe. I encourage you to believe something that's going to cause you to do good works. The only problem that I have is when your faith condemns somebody else to hell that's doing good works. You follow what I'm saying? Who are we?
Because basically you're saying that your good works are in vain. There's no reason for you to do it.
Exactly. There you go. That's all I'm saying. That's all, because you can do good works and ask me, Pastor, let me ask you, can a minister, a pastor, or evangelist, a bishop, or can they do good works arrogantly?
Yep. I see it.
Will they bust hell wide open?
Yes, they will.
Will they bust hell wide? Okay. So That's right. So it's a thin line. I, you know, sometimes, man, I'd rather work side by side with a person. We always say we want to be around God's fearing people. And man, and they throw that term around now, man of God, woman of God, a little bit too lightly. They throwing that thing around a little bit too much, because people, you don't title yourself. You got people now, man, that's buying ministry certificates. I remember, what you call it? I ain't going to call his name, Lou, but when we first had our conversation, when we first started talking on Facebook, was over a minister wanting, begging you to come preach at his church, at your church.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah, uh-huh. And you told him, man, go sit your little behind down somewhere and learn, read the Bible first. You know, and I came trying to play Superman.
Hey, your brother Sword. Brother Sword.
Brother Sword, what's happening, man?
How y'all make it up?
Boom, good, bro. Good.
Go ahead, Sinatra. Finish saying what you were saying, Sinatra.
Oh, yeah. So I come out trying to, and this was a couple years ago. Your brother called me on the phone and said, man, you know, Brother Phelps, man, Apostle Lewis just, you know, he went off on me, man. All I did was told him to let me come and preach at the church. So I said, man, why Lou do that? Because I raised this little dude in church. When I was in church, he was kind of, well, I ain't going to say I raised him, but I see him all the time. He was a church hopper. So I called Lou. Lou, man, why are you beating up on that little dude? Lou says he'll go sit his little monkey behind down somewhere and read the Bible first. He can't come preach. And I said that to say that people will go buy. They're going to buy ministry license. They paying a few dollars for to become pastors and the bishops,
yep,
and everything,
yep,
else. You,
uh-huh,
know, I got a friend. I got a friend. I'll call and still call him a friend that lost $1 million church that his daddy worked for 60 years. He was the pastor. His father gave it to him, you know, and handed it to him and said, son, just live right. I'm too old. I'm passing the mantle. This joker went and smoked half the church up and gave the other half away. And then after the church fell, membership dispersed. 6 months later, he became a bishop. I'm still,
wow,
trying to figure that out.
That's deep.
Yeah, that is deep, and it's dangerous. And now listen, man, just because I don't subscribe to Christianity doesn't mean that I don't support its efforts to help people become righteous people. That's the thing that people get mixed up with me all the time.
But you know what? Isn't that actually important? Isn't that the main goal of it? The main goal is to allow and help people to live right lives and productive lives the best way they know how to. Isn't that the,
exactly,
whole purpose of it? So why,
exactly,
in the world would you say my works is in vain and it's of no use because I don't believe in the God that you believe in?
Well,
that's
I
have a comment. I know y'all talking about, I heard y'all talking about good works a number of times, and but we all know the ones who are students of the Bible and know Scripture, that according to Scripture, good works ain't going to get nobody nowhere. I mean, it might get you a good name on this earth, and it might get you to avoid a lot of, you know, unnecessary heartaches and problems, and you be a good moral standing citizen. But as far as God, when he looks down, good works, you know, like I heard one of the brothers quote the Scripture, you know, Jesus spoke about one saying, Lord, I did many good works in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I prophesied in your name. And he goes, say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The question was asked, why did he say depart? It's because you got hidden agenda. You still not clean on the inside. You haven't had no real spiritual operation of being transformed. And the only one who can give you a new spirit is God. So
what does that have to do with me being good, like me actually doing good and actually helping people? What does that have to do with anything about me being a good person? Maybe I don't care to go to heaven. I have not. My intentions and my goal in life is not to make it into heaven. I don't care about that. I just want to help people. Why are you saying my work is of no use?
No, I'm saying, of course it's some use. You can help an old lady cross the street. You can help somebody that got busted upside their head and bleeding, laying in the street. Nobody going to want to help them, but you choose to not matter and get blood on you and help them out. I mean, you, there's nothing wrong with, you know, being a good moral person. But Jesus said there's none good, no, not one. So, you know, they called him good master. And he said, why call me good? You know, understanding that inside of the human being, you got some type of deceit there, and God knows that you got some type of fault. You know, we all got fault. So he put us all under the category of sinners. So he says you need a remedy. And the only remedy that he said he made available for mankind is the death of his son, Jesus Christ, who never did nothing wrong.
Hold on, wait a minute, Aaron. Before you say that, let me say this.
Okay.
All right. It's not about your works, man. Your works alone is not going to get you into heaven. It's your relationship. Matter of fact, it's more so your relationship, more so than your works. Because if you don't have a relationship with God, you ain't getting there in the first place. So it's not about your works. It's a relation. It's relational. This is a relational thing.
Let me ask you something on that note. So we always hear people say he's just evil to the core. Everything that come out of his mouth is evil. Everything that he does is evil. Right? Wouldn't you have to have some type of connection to do good?
Yes.
Right.
Well,
so now my point.
If you look at people in general, I mean, you got to be just mischievous, downright, don't care, avoiding your conscience to just do some bluntly evil. You probably went through some type of trauma in your childhood, but people in general have some type of quality of respecting the next man and trying to live a peaceful life, whether they're living it in America, whether they're living it in Africa, Europe, wherever you at, inside of each human being is some type of quality of good, and it needs to be encouraged, of course, by other citizens that they have. But we talking about now being making it or having eternal life, living forever.
That's what you're talking about. But not only that,
Apostle Lou just said earlier, just a second ago, that it's about relationship, and I can understand that.
Right.
But you said again that it's not about works, and I said it's not about works alone.
Not works alone.
Right.
Okay.
It's
you're not just works alone. You're saying works and relationship.
Can I share something? And maybe it'll shed some light on where I am and give you a clear understanding of what. My ancestors, my ancient ancestors, believed that death is just another phase of life and that we still have access to the people that died before us, right? Now, this is not theory. This is what another belief system, right? That was in Africa long before the letter J was ever created, right? Thousands of years before the letter J. Let me put it like that. And so they believe.
You said it ain't no theory. It has to be because it ain't been proven. A theory is something. That's
so
not
let
proven.
Me ask you. I said it was just another
theory.
Belief,
is something that is proven.
A theory is something made up.
No, a theory is not made up.
Right. Theory is ideologies based on particular information that they have. Okay.
Yes.
That they
it's,
had to work with. That's what a theory is.
It's basically the graduation of the best information that we have achieved. Right now, so
right.
it is actual information.
A theory could be proven.
Let's not play semantics, man.
You're right, Apostle. I apologize.
Let's stay on point. Okay, so my point is that the belief system that I hold and I hold it for a reason, is that ancestors, all of my family died. All of my brothers and sisters, I mean, not my brother, I got one. All of my brothers died, mother, father. I have no uncles, no, I have one aunt. And so I'm the elder of my family, and I searched, and I looked, and I did. And what I found is that I still have access to them based on the theory of my ancient ancestors, although I like the theory of heaven too, or the idea of heaven too. Now, the theory of what I hold to is that my ancestors believed that when you died, you went to a higher state of life, and so I still today sit some time, and I connect with the spirit of my mother and the spirit of my brothers. And although some people say, oh, well, that's witchcraft according to the Bible, well, no, because wouldn't it be the same if you say, okay, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus? I know my parents. I knew my brothers. I knew how they thought. I knew how they think. So their life is still – that's what the everlasting life process was to them. There was a God consciousness that – consisted of the same things that you're talking about, but it was only the fact that, you know, it was in a different plane. So I understand where you at, and I understand what you believe. I don't knock it. I tell people, if heaven makes you live right on earth, then please go to heaven. Please set your goal on heaven. If you're going to act right down here, just be heavenly minded so that you do the right thing. And so, which boils down to, a person's works is based off of what they're connected to. If I'm connected
and their motivation to do whatever they're doing.
That's right. That's all I'm saying. And you're right, Swoop.
I got a question for DA.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, would the world be better without God?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
No way.
No, and the reason why I say that is because, like I said before, and his comment he just made, some people need the idea, the excuse, the motivation of a God to actually be good.
Right.
And if they need that, keep believing it.
Right.
Because I actually heard some people say, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be doing all these good things I was doing. If it wasn't for the love of Jesus Christ, I probably would shoot my neighbor. I hear people say that in church.
Right.
So if that's your motivation to keep you going and to prevent you from shooting me, please keep believing in Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask a question?
Right.
And some people might get what I'm getting ready to say. Some people might not. Oh, well. Would the world be better without laws?
No.
No, of course not.
Okay, so let me ask this. How come we got more fear of laws than we do of God?
First of all,
they removed the stone.
Because God is not tangible. That's number one. God is a concept
and
an idea.
God might not be tangible to you, but to some people that are listening to this broadcast, God is tangible to them.
Well, if God is tangible to them, like I said before, they need to seek some type of medical assistance.
That's your opinion. You're not clinically trained to make that kind of a statement.
You're right. So the only thing that I can do is give you my opinion.
Okay, well, for you to say somebody needs to go get some kind of psychological treatment or whatever for their belief, I think you're way out of pocket for that.
Okay, hold on.
I don't think you should make those kind of comments.
No, I will make those comments, and I will continue to make those comments, because I will ask you this. If someone was sitting next to you on a bus or somewhere in public, and they told you, they were sitting next to you, and they told you, hey, right now, I have God inside my pocket, or I'm hugging God right now. I'm hugging him. Can't you see him? If you sit there and tell me right now that you say, you know what, this person is A-okay, there's nothing wrong with this person, I would have to question you.
Okay, now I'm gonna say this for the people that's listening to the broadcast. Once again, Brother D.A. is doing what he does best. He is the greatest fisher that we got on
How
on
am
the
fishing?
Panel.
You said
because
God
what
can
you're
be
saying,
tangible.
What
does
you're
tangible
saying,
mean?
What you're
What's
saying,
tangible
you're,
mean?
Taking what I'm, you're taking what I'm saying
What's
out of
tangible
context.
Mean?
You're taking
tangible
what I'm saying out of context, bro.
No.
You're taking what I'm saying out of context,
mean?
And that's what you do.
But no, somebody give me a definition of the word tangible.
That spirit is. But we know a spirit is real, and it has life.
Hello?
Yeah, you're still on there. Listen, this is Minister J right here. I pushed the mute button on everyone. Like, right now, we're entering into the war zone. Right now, I want to just hear Apostle Louis Young and D.A. go at it over this topic right here. So I'm going to let them two get to some type of point or statement concerning this issue.
I'm gonna say this. We've been on here for about 2 months, and I sat back and I let you say your little slick remarks because of what you say your position is on the show. But for you to keep saying what you're saying, I feel you're out of pocket. You're out of line. You are not even professionally or clinically capable to diagnose anybody on this radio show. And I think you're wrong for saying it, and you shouldn't be allowed to say it ever again on this radio show. Now,
okay.
if I'm not done. If somebody that got the credentials to label somebody's crazy, they need to go get psychological help, then that individual needs to come on the line and do that. You're not qualified to do it, so you shouldn't be saying it, period.
Okay, now, you said what you had to say.
I'm not done. Now, since we're talking about it, I feel personally you do not need to be speaking on the behalf of anybody. Whoever this radio show, it's got a telephone number for whoever feels like, whether we talk about homosexuality, lesbianism, whatever. You do not need to be representing any of these so-called people that you call yourself representing. They got a platform now for them to call and voice their own opinion. They don't need you voicing their opinion. I stand what I say. I represent me and I represent God. I'm not representing nobody else. I don't have to do that. And nobody else needs you to represent them. Anybody
okay.
that's talking to you, they should be able to call this radio show and say what they want to say on their own merit. They don't need you speaking for them. Period.
Okay, now, just I heard what you had to say, and I would take it to consideration. But still, my point still stands. I will continue to say that if people believe or say that something is tangible and they can feel it, as a matter of fact, just to actually point out the view on that, because there's one thing to be ignorant, to not know something, but then there's another thing to be lazy, to basically have the means to actually find out information, acquire information, and then do something with it. Now, my thing is, if somebody can come on the line and actually tell me what the definition of tangible is, I would definitely love that. When it comes to regards of me speaking my mind, saying that somebody's crazy, I can say whatever I choose to say. I'm not being disrespectful to you. I'm not being disrespectful to anybody. I'm saying whoever makes a remark of saying that they can actually touch something and feel something that only themselves can actually feel, and you say that it's tangible. It's tangible, something is actually wrong there. And I will continue to say it. And I don't have to be a clinical psychologist or psychiatrist to know that. Everybody in their right mind knows that. And I will continue to say it. I can talk for gay people. I can talk for lesbians. I can do anything I choose to do. I'm not disrespecting anybody in any type of way.
First of all, I never said you could talk to whoever you want to talk to. You're a grown man.
I'm talking about on the show.
I said, you don't need to be calling yourself representing nobody that can represent themselves.
And I'm
so
saying that
all
I
these
can,
people,
I will.
All these people that you're saying you're talking to, how come they're not on the show?
because it's their choice to be on the show or not.
Okay, like I said,
I can't make somebody come on the show.
You
I can represent somebody.
You are advocating for Aaron.
I choose to represent.
You are advocating for Aaron. You are not advocating
for Aaron. I'm advocating
for whoever
I choose to advocate for.
90% of the stuff you say, you believe. That's just my personal opinion.
That's your personal opinion.
90% of the stuff you say, you believe.
It doesn't make a difference.
And it doesn't make a difference.
I'm going to always view what I see, what I may see, what other people may say, and then if they come on the line and say something different,
I would actually go on with them and talk to them
and try to understand where they're coming from.
I would never sit on this phone and try to make it seem like.
Hold up, we just paused right there. We're gonna pause right there. There's other ones on the phone. I know we got our Pastor Boone, we got Sword, we got our brother Natu on the phone, and we got Stefano on the phone. But I do have a question for DA. I do want to know, what is the difference of you calling someone who believes that God, their perception of God is their perception of God? What's the difference of you saying that and someone else coming on here and speaking against homosexuality and saying that it's wrong, that they should go to hell, that it's not the will of God, that God is not for it, and then you would say that a person is wrong for actually saying something like that when you're on here actually calling someone who believes that God is tangible or their perception of God, and you're calling them crazy. Like, what's the difference? Are you Christian bashing?
All right. Well, no, I'm not Christian bashing. I am saying that if somebody is given a definition of, and still nobody has yet given a definition of tangible.
Answer the question.
I will. I'm answering the question.
I'm answering the question.
And the answer is, if someone makes a statement based on a word that means a particular thing, and I said tangible, and if you are referring to something as being tangible, that's something that you can see, touch, smell. You can use your senses and actually apply your senses to what's tangible. Now, if you're saying that God is tangible when the word says that God is untangible, then I'm going to question your sanity.
But when did
and
the
I have
word
the right to do
that?
So.
When did the word say that God was untangible?
You tell me in the word where it says God is tangible. You tell me in the word where God can physically be touched.
Okay, and do the writing. First it says walk. Walk, you got to have legs. It said God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And also in Deuteronomy, Moses asked to see God, and God said, you can see my back parts. And also in Ezekiel, it says that the appearance of God was as fire from his waist downward.
Now.
And a rainbow was above his head, so he had a head. But now the material that we know God is spirit, but we don't know the material of a spirit. But we know it is touchable.
You just said that God is spirit and we don't know.
Quiet.
But then again, you said you do know that God is touchable. It doesn't make any sense.
I said we don't know. I said we don't know what substance. You just said God is spirit. Nobody knows the substance of God.
So how in the world can you say you actually can touch that?
Now listen, we know what flesh is. What is tangible is any material. Tangible is, my flesh is tangible.
Yeah, so who
and
do you know
tangible.
Actually touched
is,
God?
Just give me two seconds. Who physically touched God? Okay, just give me 2 seconds. Wood is tangible. Flesh is tangible. Spirit is tangible, but we don't know what substance
Bro,
or what material.
Spirit is not tangible. Spirit is not tangible.
Spirit is not tangible.
The scripture talks about the angels war.
I'm not talking about
spirit.
Listen, bro.
One another and fight,
spirit is not tangible.
I want a Christian, I want somebody who actually believes in the Almighty God to tell me if they believe that God is tangible.
Pastor Boone on the line. Pastor Boone, let me hear you, bro.
First of all, this is a very interesting conversation. I'm very happy to be here. This is to kind of like bring about some level of clarity. I'm hearing all the conversations about God being tangible, God being intangible, all that kind of stuff.
No. They're asking the tangible. What does tangible, what's the definition of tangible?
And still nobody has given me the definition.
The definition of tangible is discernible by touch or intelligible.
Let me spread out the
floor on the show.
Okay.
Hold on. Let Pastor Boone talk without any interruptions. Let him talk. Everybody that says something on the show. Let him talk.
If something is tangible, it's talking about something that is visible, that can be physically touched in the physical realm. That's the Webster definition of that which is tangible. You're talking about something intangible. You're talking about something that's immaterial, that you cannot touch or taste or touch with your senses, with your five senses. That's something that's intangible. God is intangible. For Jesus said, "They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit." And in truth, God is intangible. That's why faith comes into play, because faith says faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
If God was tangible, there would be no need. There would be no need for faith.
For faith. Right.
Now, I'm sorry. Just to add on to what you said, this is where the whole conversation was being complicated.
Didn't you just say for nobody to say nothing?
Hold on.
Just go right
with it.
Let him talk.
Now, all I'm saying is, to the whole conversation, Tim is saying this. Now, to kind of bring my perspective of what he's saying, if a person is on the bus and they're talking about, I'm touching God and look at him, look, he's right here, I'm touching him right here. First of all, to be quite honest, God doesn't act unseemly. Let's put that out there first. He doesn't act unseemly. It does not bring any kind of like unwarranted attention.
That's right. That's right, America.
See, now he's being arrogant and silly because he don't have an audience.
I'm not being arrogant. I'm just telling you, use the definition in the correct way.
No. And what I'm saying is that if someone was doing that, then I would take it as being acting unseemly. In other words,
Why are you saying thank you? He's disagreeing with you.
I'm saying thank you to him because he's agreeing with me.
I'm not agreeing.
Exactly. Like I said, he's disagreeing with you.
I'm not agreeing. You're acting unseemly.
If you would have let me finish, I would have said that. Go ahead and say what you're going to say, Pastor Boone, because what y'all not going to do is make me sound like a fool. I know exactly what I was saying.
Now, first of all, let me be perfectly clear. If you're having a shouting match, it's almost impossible for one to make sense out of what one's saying.
That's why I'm going to shut up and let you say what you got to say.
Because you're having a shouting match and you're not really getting clarity, you're getting understanding, and the emotions get involved, and then that knocks off the whole conversation. And what before being an intelligent conversation now becomes a babble of argument, which doesn't solve anything. The reality of simply saying this. The gist of the situation is this. There's lots of these guys, people saying throughout the whole show that there's so much that I really can touch and go on a lot of things. Like, for example, do you need God to love your wife correctly? And I say no. I say that because of two instances. There are plenty of people who are married, have successful marriages, and never go to church, but they have a successful marriage. So in some cases, better marriages than Christians do. Because they occupy in principle. As a matter of fact, the institution of marriage came before the institution of church. So to say that you need to be in church to have a successful marriage is really a fallacy.
Who said that?
Huh? hear me out, because somebody made a comment saying that you can't love your wife correctly, referring to the comment that you can't love your wife correctly without having God in your life. And I never said that.
But if that's
Jermaine said that. Jermaine asked the question.
I didn't hear that.
That's where